House of Grace, your podcast home for the big and small questions and answers of life with Sandra von Sobieski.
Hi, Suze. Welcome to House of Grace. I'm so glad that you have time to talk with me.
And Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be on your podcast too.
Suze, we are not only working together, we have a retreat coming up in 2021 with Christopher Wallace. I also took a private lesson, and there are more to come about the nervous system and traumata, because we had a talk before and you are kind of specialized in this field, and it was so, I was so blown away by what you told me, what you've told me, that I needed to know more about it. And maybe you can give a short introduction about how, or maybe you can say how and when you discovered the work of TSR. Is it TSR or TSE?
TRE.
TRE.
Trauma or tension release exercises. So TRE.
Yeah. So you also discovered it for yourself, and maybe you want to share, or it would be so interesting to listen and to know how you experienced it and what was your journey with it.
Yeah. So, basically all the different practices that I offer, I probably started with them because I was looking for something for myself to do, either to grow more or to deal with something that was going on in my personal life. That goes for yoga, but I think even also just studying psychology, that which I did at university, it probably started out for me because I was just interested in understanding certain things more. I think I was always triggered by just things that were going on for me in my own life. And then so I already had the background of psychology and yoga, and also already family constellations. And then still there was a lot going on at that particular time in my life. There was some loss and there was changes in where I was living, and so things were kind of uprooted, and a lot of events were quite unexpected or felt beyond like outside of my control. And I think that was the main trigger to look for something that could just help me release certain emotions around that. Yes, because there was no way for me to change it, so this, I just had to kind of come to terms with it and find a new way through. And this is what I like so much about the trauma work, is that it doesn't necessarily look as to trauma as something that is just unfortunate or just a bad thing that happens, but it's more like a stepping stone to something better. Yeah, it's the way we kind of grow and evolve as human beings. So instead of just trying to get through something or have it pass or kind of endure it, there is another way. There's a way of enduring, maybe that's part of it, but then also after that, integrating the experience and growing from it, so you become more resilient. And I think a friend of mine had done some TRE, sorry, and she told me about it, and I thought, that sounds really good. And it works through the body, which was for me, especially at that point, definitely the direction that I wanted to move into more. Not so much just living in the head and trying to find solutions in the head, but actually including the body and allowing some healing to happen that you might not necessarily understand or consciously do, but it's just as profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how does a session look like?
So TRE, the founder of TRE is David Bracelli, and he discovered this by spending a lot of time in war zones. So he, in different parts of the world. So he started to notice that physically, most of us, we respond similar to stress and trauma, and tremoring is a big part of that. So he designed different exercises. It's a series of seven exercises that builds up a little bit of tension in the body. So this is what we would do in a session. You go through these exercises. Mm-hmm. And the exercises are also have the purpose of you training yourself in feeling your body and sensing when there's a tension building up. So to self-regulate, to regulate how much you need to increase that. And then we come into a relaxed position and the body can start to release. Now this can look different for everybody, but the release doesn't come from the muscles. It's a movement that is triggered by the nervous system. Now all mammals have this ability and it's a tremoring movement. And it can look, like I said, it can look different for everybody. It can be very subtle, almost invisible. It can be large movements. And the movements are just a way for the nervous system to release any excess tension that it's holding on to.
And do you combine it also with questions or is it just the bodily exercise?
Well, TRE in itself is just physical. It's just a release without necessarily knowing what you are releasing. I personally, because of my background, I like to combine it also with conversations. But sometimes I just do TRE for a first couple of sessions and then we end up going into a conversation. I think it's different for everybody depending on what other modalities they might combine it with. For every therapist, it can be different, or facilitator. What I do notice is that if we work with the body first, the story that comes afterwards is quite often very different from the story that I would get if I would right away start with just talking. Mm-hmm. It's less cognitive, like it's more embodied, and we might get to insights quicker.
Do you have an example? Where you were thinking, wow, that's really different?
Not a specific person or that I can give you an example of, but what I can say is that in general, what can happen often when you have somebody come for a session and we just talk, that you can tell that the story is a story that they've told very often before, and it's not necessarily that embodied. So sometimes... The story misses the emotion that shows that it's something that this person can still feel while they talk about it. Yeah. So that's not a bad thing. It just shows me that this is the story that they've become comfortable with, or how they can easily explain, well, this is what happened. This is what's going on for me. Mm-hmm. Now, the downside of that can be that there is an identification with that story. And it's just a repetition of it. And sharing it with me is not necessarily therapeutic. Mm-hmm. It's just a repetition. So instead of spending time on that, we might want to release some of the tension in the body so they feel more grounded and present in their body, which can also make them feel more safe. Mm-hmm. And that safety is what's key in order for us to get to anything that's more vulnerable than the often repeated story. And that's where the healing happens. So I would like to, if we talk, that I can go a little deeper than just the surface. But for that to happen, I need the person that I'm working with to feel they have the space to go there. Mm-hmm. And that it feels safe. And they feel safe in their own body to go there. And TRE is a great way of getting there.
You know, I was just thinking when you were saying about the story you are telling yourself and you're getting comfortable with, and that's the thing you know. And I think change happened for me as well when my therapy was super important. But at a certain point, I was again really devastated and sad. And I called my friend and told her, I need more therapy. I really need to change that. And I will do a hardcore therapy with 5 sessions per week. And she said, Sandra, you don't need more talking. You need to act different. And that just reminded me so much on that certain event. Do you think it's do you think we miss an important part in our psychology or therapy system because we concentrate so much on our minds and our brains?
Yeah, I don't think that cognitive therapy or talking therapy is like a complete, it's complete on its own for me. Yeah, I would say there is so much more going on for us. Yeah, there is, you do have a mind, and that's important. You also have a body, and we know more and more how important the role is that the body plays. So it's not just the brain sending information to the body and the body responding to that, but it's also the other way around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the response of our body is also subconscious. Yeah. So mm-hmm. when I get scared of something, the physical response that I will feel is quite often something that's beyond my control, right? That my heart rate goes up, that's beyond my control. For the large part, of course, there are people who can train themselves to keep their heart rate lower, but that's also a training of the nervous system. Yeah, that's not a mental trick. So the body is very important for us in times of stress and times of trauma, and the processes that are going on in the body as well. Now, the difference between stress and trauma is that stress is usually, it's considered a temporary change, and the body responds to that with a temporary adjustment, and that is, then we hope that that's enough, right? So that can't, most of us know this as fight or flight.
Yeah.
But we kind of still feel in control. We feel that by taking action, by doing certain things, we can take control of the situation or bring it to a positive ending. Now, with trauma, there's always a sense of helplessness that comes in. Something happens, but it's beyond our control, mm-hmm. or we cannot make it stop. Yeah. And then something more permanent changes in the body. So, and that can settle in the nervous system, can also be in the brain. There's a different way of storing the memory of trauma, traumatic events. There's lots of things that are happening that go beyond our rational brain. So trying to solve it only in the rational brain, only by talking about it, to me seems an incomplete approach.
Mm. Yeah, and sometimes you just start to feel something without reason. And we just talked a bit before, and I do have the situation right now. And I think it's a very, very old feeling which comes up basically really without without a reason, without a cause which would let me feel like that. But in the moment I feel a bit scared and frightened, and I can feel it in my heart. And it was quite hard to start the podcast, but I thought this is the ideal state to do it, because we can talk about what I'm feeling. And I think it's a very old pattern which comes up. What would your advice be for me in this situation, like feeling scared yeah. of losing something? And I mean, actually, I think a lot of people do feel like this right now. I mean, not exactly as I feel, but in terms of Corona, people are scared of losing their jobs, and I think a lot of old emotions are coming up, even though that's my problem or my situation right now.
Yes, and it can show up for everybody differently. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, our body has a certain memory that can be triggered. Mm-hmm. Our brain has memories that can be triggered. Now, we have a lot of subconscious memories as well. And oftentimes, also traumatic experiences, they can turn into somewhat subconscious memories with emotional patterns that are attached to that. And then coping behavior that is often attached to that as well. So with coping behavior always has served a purpose. It has probably saved us at some point, mm-hmm. or made us feel more safe, or helped us at least deal with a certain situation. The thing is that it can become a problem when it is something that we do not consciously get to choose, but it just kind of comes up. So sometimes, like what you're saying now, is like rationally, you know that you don't, there's no reason for you to experience this kind of fear rationally in the reality that you're living right now. But that doesn't seem to matter, right? Which is frustrating. So now you and I can talk about this, and I can try to keep explaining to you, like, well, this is not happening in the here and now, but that's the thing that you kind of already know.
Exactly.
So what is happening is that you have some subconscious memories of events where you probably weren't safe, or you were actually losing something, and that has settled itself into your subconscious, but also in your body, because what you explain is that you say, I have a physical sensation of this in my body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then external things happen, and for whatever reason, they touch upon that. So they trigger that. And there you are, you're having this emotional response, you're having a physical response. You do not know exactly what memory this is connected to, mm-hmm. because it's a subconscious one. And there might be a tendency to then act accordingly, act as if it is actually happening right now. Mm-hmm. Now, there's different things to do. One is to obviously work again through the body, so you can practice TRE, you can allow your body to move, let it, the energy that is kind of stirred up, move through you. Mm-hmm. Now with TRE, you allow it to move out of the nervous system, but I think there's lots of different ways of moving that can be complementary to that. So muscular movement is great too, yeah? Then the other thing is that you can observe. You can observe what's going on for you, and you can, so it's on the rational level, know this is not really happening right now. Mm-hmm. Write about it. Release it in that way as well. Sorry. And then the other thing that is really great to do in general, which is what TRE also does, is train the vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. So there are different practices to do that. And yoga does that automatically because it works a lot with the breath. There's a lot of spinal movement also in yoga. There's a lot of training of the vagus nerve, also bringing your body in kind of stressful positions, mm-hmm. while staying very calm and grounded. These are all trainings for the nervous system to be in kind of stressful situations while staying in a very grounded and present state. Those are practices that you can really use at this time. And the knowing sometimes of that this is a subconscious memory that is triggered can be quite helpful. Another thing that I like to use is yoga nidra, where you can really work with the subconscious and just implement different states of being. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I do, I do a lot of movement, and it's helpful, but it doesn't stop the feeling. And also what I decided for myself, it is okay for me not to be healed fully. You know what I mean? I have the feeling that some of my patterns and traumas, they're so, they are like, like little children, they're with me. they won't affect me as they did before. But they will, once in a while, they will pop up and say, hey, Sandra, I'm still here. Just wanted to say hi. They do this in a more subtle way. And so I kind of let go of the idea of healing, and that helps me not to, because my personality is I try to fix things. Also, when people are telling me their stuff, I really have to learn, or had to learn, that I'm not there for fixing their problems. And years before I would have tried to get out of the situation. And so I just sit and feel and move, But today, nothing changed. So it's still there. But
well, maybe, I think, yeah, it's an important point that you're touching on, because healing is definitely not the same as fixing, whether it's yourself or somebody else. Mm. So the healing starts always with safety. And when you feel that there's something wrong with how you are in this moment, that is not a very safe feeling. So just the acceptance of that, well, first of all, none of us is going to be perfect. And we're not here to kind of work through all the things that we, you know, might be carrying with us. I think that is, that puts a lot of pressure on you, and it's not very much an attainable goal. What is maybe attainable is trying to get comfortable with all these aspects of yourself and giving them space. So yeah. If you look at this from also a family constellation perspective, on a soul level, that's basically what family constellations works with. It's not about fixing something. It's just about allowing everything and everybody to take its rightful place and for it to be seen. So if that is, for example, in your scenario, you say, I feel there's fear coming up, that I'm very clear about, that it belongs to an experience from the past.
Yeah.
Instead of fighting it in the here and now, you can allow it to kind of show itself and to give it more space. So instead of pushing it away and saying like, oh, come on, this is ridiculous and it's not real and I shouldn't be feeling this. Not saying that that's what you're doing, but in general.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing that, you can see like, okay, can I allow myself to feel this, accept that this is just one of those days, but stay present with it and not act on it. So allowing it to be there is not the same as reacting to it. So seeing, can I just stay present, feel safe, feel grounded while this fear shows itself, let it move through. And sometimes it goes easy and sometimes it just wants to stick around for a couple of days. Mm. See, maybe there, if you allow it to be there and show itself, there's something that it can tell you. You might get some insights, but that is the healing, not the fixing it or pushing it away, because that tends to create so much tension. And it doesn't go away. It's just there and it wants to be seen.
Yeah. And for me personally, it also helped me to accept that this is something which will come up maybe all my life.
Yeah.
And you can greet it like an old friend, you know?
Yeah.
Also, you said something. I'm currently in an uncertain position. So it just came, you know, sometimes you hear things and then it falls into your heart and it's like a truth bomb.
Yeah.
So it just came into my mind that I am that I'm not in safety or in terms of that I have that I have certainty about something. And and actually my whole life is in the moment uncertain, health-wise, job-wise, everything.
Yeah.
And to accept that life is like that and there is no guarantee for luck, health, happiness, love, and what we all wish for, to fully accept it with your heart and find safety in uncertainty. I think that is something I will meditate upon today.
Yeah, because that is also where the true freedom lies. Yeah, because we can run around and build, you know, so-called securities for ourselves, whether that's, you know, buying a house or getting a solid job, or not to say that those things are not real things to go for in life. They are. As long as you're aware that the security and safety that they offer you are an illusion. They're never going to solve the deeper sense of insecurities that you might carry with you because of trauma. That requires different work. And to be clear, like trauma, it doesn't necessarily mean that you had horrendous things happen to you. What is traumatizing is very subjective to the person. And it all has to do with the sense of safety and whether you feel helpless or not. And for some, and especially when you're a child, it's quite easy to feel helpless. It's quite easy for an experience to feel very unsafe or overwhelming. So that doesn't mean that as you look at that as a grown-up, that it has to look like this horrendous thing that happened. Mm-hmm. On a subconscious level, you might be carrying something with you that you're like, well, that can never have been such a big deal. And maybe it was, yeah? So whatever is traumatizing is very subjective and doesn't just fit into one category. The aim, though, is to kind of, in a way, come home to yourself so that you find the safety and the security inside yourself, knowing that it's wonderful to aim for things and for achievements in the external world. And I definitely do that too. But what would happen to you if that is taken away? Mm-hmm. And Corona, now this situation, for a lot of people, this is a situation that they're in, that they're being confronted with the possibility of losing their job, or maybe they have lost their job or lost their job already, or at least, you know, like went down in income, or it's uncertain. It's uncertain. But that can also happen when somebody's relationship ends, or, you know, losses in the family. But that is life. It's always been like that. We might have forgotten about it sometimes because most of us here, at least in the West, are living a very privileged life where we don't often have to question all these certainties in our life. But it has never been certain. The only thing that is certain is that you are going to have to walk through this life with yourself, and that you better get comfortable with that. With yourself, so that things can happen and you can grieve and you can be sad and you can have strong emotions, but you can still be grounded and rooted in a sense of self. Mm-hmm.
That is so beautifully said, Sus. Thank you. Do you have like one or two questions when we are in a state of fight or flight?
When you're in a state of fight,
when everything is really overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the thing that can diffuse it, for example, like if you're in an argument with somebody and you get stuck into this thing about being right, but that can manifest in many different ways, right? It can be with a loved one, but it can also be with just a random person on the street that's not even relevant. when you're getting into that, to ask yourself, what would it feel like if I stopped fighting? What would it feel like if I just say to this person, you're right? And to allow yourself to feel it. And sometimes that's so disarming, mm-hmm. that it can just calm things down. And but that you can even have that with your work. You know, if you're like fighting your way through your inbox or fighting your way through deadlines, you can also say like, what if I stop fighting? What would that feel like? It's like an invitation to shift your own energy. It might still mean that you have to answer all those emails. You might be able to do it with a different kind of quality to it. Yeah, your experience can be different, which is all that counts, because that's what makes your reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether you answer those emails in a relaxed manner, or you are able to actually prioritize and also see that some of it is not that urgent. It's not earth shattering if you don't get back to that person right away. That is going to be your experience. That is going to be your actual reality. Now, your reality is obviously colored by your previous experiences, but this is the practice that you are seeing how you're creating your reality, that you're looking at that. And you are able to sometimes pause and say, can I choose something else? Is this really the only reality that's available to me? Or can I choose to stop the struggle? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
And when you are like frozen?
Yeah, in a state, when you are in a state of freeze, you are not going to do much about that, because that's the whole idea. You're basically, the state of freeze is your nervous system is taking over for you. You do not choose to go there. Fight or flight, you don't necessarily choose to go there, but there is still enough awareness that you can probably get yourself out. Yeah, you can still practice mindfulness and maybe stop yourself sooner in this state of reactiveness. Mm-hmm. But freeze means basically that your system decides fight or flight didn't work. I do not feel safe, or I feel overwhelmed. And my only way out is to dissociate, to disconnect. That means you're disconnecting from the world around you, from the people around you, but also from yourself and your physical sensations, because they have become too intense. Mm-hmm. So in that state, there's not much that you're going to do. The only thing, you'll come out of that. You'll come out of that once your system feels safe enough to come out of it. So that's the thing to wait for. Now, what we can do is train ourselves to notice how often we dissociate, mm-hmm. to train awareness around that. Because the thing is, we usually don't know when we dissociate. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I was just going to ask this.
Yeah. So that's the tricky part of it, you know. But a nervous system can be trained, just like mm-hmm. your muscle can be trained. Now, a lot of us, we dissociate because it has a function, right? There is also positive dissociation. For example, when we want to work in the more subconscious mind with yoga nidra is a form of dissociation. Meditation is a form of dissociation. Me reading a book in a busy coffee place and I don't want to be distracted by the sounds around me, I dissociate partially so I can focus on what I'm reading. Yeah, so there are healthy ways of dissociating. When we dissociate unconsciously, subconsciously, or when we use dissociation as a way to avoid experiences in life that we don't want to deal with by watching a lot of television, looking for distraction all the time, being a workaholic can be a great way of dissociating.
Social media
is, it's like the biggest form that we have probably in the moment, mm-hmm. but using drugs can also be a wonderful way of escaping. So there's lots of ways that we dissociate throughout the day without even our nervous system taking us there. So that's the first place where I would start to look. Mm-hmm. How often do I escape the moment because I find it uncomfortable to be there or to just be with what I'm experiencing in my body? And how often do you do that as a habit thing or as a conscious choice? Yeah, that's where I would start, because that is the easiest thing to notice. To notice, like, I'm going to go and get up and get something to eat now, even though I'm not hungry. What am I?
Yeah, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, we all have our own little ways, right? We all have our own little ways. And this current situation with Corona can make it more obvious for us. Mm-hmm. So some people are like, oh my God, I am doing this way more than I ever was, or I can't pull mm-hmm. myself off of social media anymore, or I can't, you know?
Yeah.
That is, it kind of enlarges the thing that you were probably always doing, but it just makes it so much bigger because you lost your structure, or there's more for you to cope with, and mm-hmm. you feel more overwhelmed. So that's where I would start, to kind of observe that and see if you can sometimes not do it. And yeah. then when you don't do it, that will feel uncomfortable. So that's then the second step would be like to see what you actually feel. What is going on? What's mm-hmm. going on when you're not allowed to numb yourself or whatever it is that you're doing to numb?
It takes so much courage.
I tried
it last year not to numb myself. I couldn't, to be very honest, and I'm always very honest, I couldn't do it like every day.
No.
Because there was also a lot going on last year in my life. And I was not able to do it every day, but I gave myself the promise not to numb myself like continuously, but go consciously through this time. And it's hard. It's really hard because it's so much easier to have a threesome with Ben and Jerry's and watch Netflix. But it's really worth it. I do have the feeling in the last month, I really got to know myself on a whole other level. And that's why I also, even now, I'm scared and frightened, and there's an old feeling of sadness. And there's even, it's hard to describe. It's like my body wants to go into suffering. And I'm like, no, no, this is not where we are going, my honey. Yeah. Darling, we don't go there.
Yeah, so you're staying much more present with it, which is not the same as not having the experience.
Yeah.
So this is another thing, like around healing. Of course, sometimes you get an insight that just kind of hits you like a light bulb, you know. But healing, in my experience, is something that just gradually happens so slow that you hardly see it happen. Yeah. So it's like how your hair grows. Yeah. I mean, you don't see it grow, but all of a sudden it's so much longer, which is what we're all having now with Corona. I mean, I cannot get to that. I still need to get to the hairdresser, and I didn't make it before lockdown. So here we go. I'm sitting here. I'm going to go through some more months. I'm not seeing my hair actually grow, but it is growing nonetheless. And at some point, all of a sudden, it is long. I think healing is a little bit similar to that. You're putting in the work, little bits every day, and it doesn't have to be that tough or that strict, because that toughness is just another way of creating tension and stress in the body, and that desire to do it perfect is also another escape. It's another way to desensitize yourself. The imperfection is where it all happens, so you're not going to do this perfect. That's not the aim. The aim is to just see, can you allow yourself to be more present? And can you offer that to yourself with compassion? So you're going to have days that that's not going to work out. And then all of a sudden, there are going to be these days that you're like, yes, life is not perfect and things are happening and things touch me and I'm okay. There is something underneath the surface. There's something underneath the waves that are like all the events in your life and all the people and what they trigger in you. But you are able to drop underneath those waves, and underneath there is like a deeper sense of happiness and of being okay.
Yeah.
That is the practice. And you need your body to go there. Mm-hmm. We're not floating heads. We have a body for a reason, and it's a wonderful tool that is really profound and powerful.
I think these are the most perfect last sentences on this podcast. It's like, I wish I could have, I could have written it down at the same time. And I so much agree. I have the feeling like I have built a foundation through these last month. And an even deeper foundation, like before. I have to think about it. It's how it feels. I will write it when I announce the podcast. I thank you so much for taking your time. And I'm so sorry, my dog is coughing.
That's okay. I'm so cute.
If people do want to train with you, where can they find you?
They can go to my website. It's just my full name.com, suzratera.com. That's where you can find things about the one-on-one sessions that I offer, like more therapeutic. And then also the events that I teach, which I'm in the process of starting to get online with more, as everybody else is, I guess. So right now it's still the schedule of me going places, but I'm not going anywhere for a while. So soon it will be more online, but that's the place to go to.
Perfect. And I will put the link in the show notes. So thank you, Suz. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me and for trusting me and sharing some of your experiences.
Yes, of course. You're the best. So much looking forward for our next session.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like this podcast, We would be super happy if you would rate us on Apple Podcast, or if you give us a follow on Apple iTunes or on Spotify. We want to say thank you for listening to House of Grace and wish you all the best, and hopefully you listen to us soon.